Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Passion Series. My name is Janet Atwood. I'm the cover editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and author of The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. What is your passion, and how do you go about discovering your personal destiny? That's our focus on these calls, and here we talk with some of the most successful people in the world about how they discovered their passions and how their destiny has unfolded. The late Joseph Campbell told us what to expect when you follow your passion. He said, when you follow your bliss, doors will open where you would not have thought there would be doors and where there wouldn't be a door for anyone else. One of the most effective ways to connect with your own great passions is by hearing the experiences of those who are living them in their own lives. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce all of you to our guest tonight, who is one of the most dynamic and powerful speakers of our time, Les Brown. He is Mrs. Dammy Brown's baby boy, and he tells us in his best-selling book, Live Your Dreams, and It's Not Over Until You Win. Adopted by Mrs. Dammy Brown when he was 6 weeks old, Les grew up to be a three-time state legislator from Ohio, host of his own television talk show, and hugely successful speaker, winning over 80 awards for his work. 80, can you imagine? Those awards include the Council of Peers Award of Excellence, the highest honor awarded by the National Speakers Association, as well as being selected as one of America's top five speakers by Toastmasters International. This presentation series, You Deserve, recorded for PBS, won a Chicago Area Emmy and became the leading fundraising program of its kind for PBS stations throughout the country. Les, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited for the opportunity.
Well, we've been excited. You know, we were going to have you before, and then we had that little plane scare. So we're very,
yeah,
very happy that you're with us tonight. So thank you. And, you know, I heard you at Mark Victor Hansen's, one of Mark Victor Hansen's wonderful events. And I'll tell you, you had me all over that place, jumping and hollering and hooting and, yeah, and running all over the place with you. I tell I've been so excited about tonight. So again and again, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Tonight I'm also...
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome. You're so welcome. And tonight I'm thrilled that we have another incredibly successful entrepreneur as my cohort to conduct this interview. Stephen Pierce is one of the top internet marketers in the world today after taking the internet by storm with his book, The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth About Internet Marketing. Stephen, thank you for being with us tonight, and I'll turn the interview over to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here again and, of course, to have this opportunity to interview Les Brown. And we kind of have a history, Les, as you know, you and I, we talked about it a long time ago. You were a member of a speakers bureau, and I had signed up. I wasn't actually a speaker at the time, but I was interested. And I was really going through some stuff in my life, and the owner of the organization said, well, you know what, you really need to speak with Les Brown. And for me, it was one of those memorable, defining moments, because you were sharing with me your experience with your television show and getting it started and then what happened with the networks. And I don't really need to go into those details, but it stuck with me for a long time on how to deal with, you know, injustice and how to deal with adversity when it comes. And I wanted to, before we get into this interview, I wanted to start off and thank you for that, because it truly is, it was a defining moment. It was one of those moments that's been memorable. And you probably don't know it, or maybe I know you recall it because we had that conversation, but I want to let you know how much that moment meant for me, and hopefully there can be many and multiple defining moments today on this interview that we're about to do.
Oh, thank you. I'm very glad that was of value to you.
All right. So without question, we just heard the introduction about you, and you're widely regarded as one of the top speakers in the personal development field. And from your beginning up to the point where you are right now, I mean, you've had, you know, quite a journey. And well, I guess the first question I want to ask is, what role did your passions, the things that are most important in your life, play in achieving the success that you're enjoying today?
Well, first of all, you said it's been quite a journey. It most certainly has been. First of all, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share some thoughts with people that are listening. And I want to say to those that are listening, I'd like for you to think about some goals and dreams that you feel strongly about, and particularly something that's your passion, something that turns you on. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes said that most men and women go to their graves with their music still in them. The whole purpose and mission of Healthy, Wealthy, Wise, is about helping people to begin to find ways to release what Elizabeth Browning called the imprisoned splendor, not to take your music with you, to do that which you came and showed up to do, the calling on your life. And I believe there's a reason for all of us for being here. And in answer to the question that you asked, passions played a major role. You know, my first major passion was to take care of my mother. I'm adopted. I was born in an abandoned building on a floor with a twin brother. We were 6 weeks of age. We were taken in by Mrs. Mamie Brown, who had only a third grade education at age 46. And she adopted seven children, and she was a domestic worker on Miami Beach. And we ate the food left over from the families that she cooked for. And we wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that she babysat for. You know, and I was listening to you saying, it's been quite a journey. I just left Switzerland and speaking to 3,500 doctors and scientists. And who would have thought, by pursuing the passion of, one, taking care of my mother, two, wanting to do something meaningful with my life to make her proud, that I would have the opportunity to fly to Switzerland, to be driven from Zurich to Basel, and give a 25-minute presentation to 3,500 doctors and scientists and manufacturer workers for $45,000. I mean, that's, you know, no one could have told me I had the ability to do that. There are people who work for a whole month and don't work, earn $45,000, working 40 hours a week. So when I look at the journey and what you are talking about in terms of passions, the only way that I got here is through the passions that drove me. Bill Bailey, who I think one of the great motivational speakers around today that a lot of people not familiar with, one of the early mentors that I had that I really admired, said, if you're casual about your dreams, you will end up a casualty. People that are able to do something meaningful and significant with their lives are people who have some passions to drive them. They take hits, they have defeats, they have disappointments, but they keep on keeping on because that passion, it gives you the fuel to outdistance everybody else, and you have fun while you're going through the process.
Wow. You know, you said something that was interesting, and I want to kind of tie that into a question that came to mind, and it's kind of like to dimensionalize for everybody how you know your career got started. I want you to kind of, you know, take us on that journey and tell that story, and I also want you to kind of let everybody see and know what role mentors play, because you know, because where you are today, many people will be like, well, you know, you're the role model and you're the mentor to people. However, regardless of where we are in our life, we all tend to have mentors, and I want us to kind of get a look at your life. You know the story, know the journey, know how the career got started, and know what roles mentors played in that entire process.
Well, I see my mother as my first mentor. You know, one of the things that I'm doing right now, I train and develop speakers. My goal is to develop world-class presenters around the planet because I think people live within the context of conversations, and your ability to present and how you show up behind the words determine how powerful that interaction, that experience will be. My first mentor was my mother. I feel like Abraham Lincoln, who said, all that I am and all that I ever hoped to be, I owe to my mother. She was a person, she never met strangers. She was a mischievous. She just had an extroverted personality and started conversations with everybody and was very, very funny and had a great sense of humor. And so she was my first mentor, and she was a great storyteller. I think I developed that gift from her. While my brothers and sisters were out playing, I would have my mother tell me stories about her childhood when she rode the back of a horse in Stuart, Florida without a saddle, when she fed an alligator that weighed over 200 pounds chickens every day that her father said, don't go down to that creek and do that. And ultimately, he found out that she had been down there and he beat her with a buggy whip. This mother, my mother, she told me so many stories that are still in my head. And then Mr. Leroy Washington, I was in when I was in the fifth grade, I was identified as EMR, labeled educable, mentally retarded. And I was put back from the fifth grade into the fourth grade. And then here I am, a junior in special education, and I run into this man who was the newly appointed speech and drama instructor at Booker T. Washington High School. He was substituting in another class. And I was waiting on a friend named Mac Arthur Stevens. He asked me to do something. And I said, oh, sir, I can't do that. And he said, why not? I said, I'm not one of your students. He said, it doesn't matter. Follow my directions anyhow. I said, sir, I can't do what you're asking me to do. And he said, why? Why can't you? And I said, sir, because I'm educable, mentally retarded. And as the students erupted in laughter, he came from behind his desk. He looked at me. My eyes were teary. He said, young man, don't ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. And so, Mr. Washington, here was a man from Bradenton, Florida, who helped me to develop an appreciation for the power of the spoken word. He prepared students for what is called the Elks Oratorical Contest. Now, I could not participate because I was in special education and now I was never mainstream. So I would go to the wooden portable where he was instructing students to compete, and I would stand on a milk crate and look in the window watching them, and I fantasized. I saw myself in the future being a speech coach, training and teaching people how to speak. Now, I am known as a speaker, but my gift that I developed years ago is that as a speech coach. Edward Albee had a play called The Zoo Story, and there's a line that I'll never forget that Mr. Washington directed this play. We were in high school. He said, sometimes you have to go a long distance out of the way to come back a short distance correctly. This past January, it marks the 20th anniversary of my becoming involved in the speaking industry and have earned millions of dollars doing something I enjoy and love to do, but it's not my greatest gift, which is coaching. And then I met a gentleman by the name of Mike Williams, and I was in broadcasting in Columbus, Ohio. And Mike Williams said to me, you know what? You can do more than be Les Brown, the man about town. I was LB, Triple P, Les Brown, your platter, playing papa. There were none before me. There will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. You know, I hear these young folk today thinking that they started rap. I've got underwear older than 50 cents and Snoop Doggy Dog. Are you feeling a brother up in here? I'm 61, you know. So at any rate, so this gentleman here, here's his other mentor, first my mother, then Mr. Washington, and I just admired his oratorical skills and how he trained and developed other young speakers, and that was something I said I was going to do with my life. And then this man that I was following around, Mike Williams, who happened to be in an audience, I spoke here in Chicago recently at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. They had sold out three events, and it just took me totally out of my presentation game. It was so emotional for me because out of a 35-year mentoring relationship, he's only seen me speak three times, and this is the fourth time he'd ever seen me speak because I've been so self-conscious of him being in the audience. So the three times I never saw him, I just heard that he was there and he told me. But whenever I speak, because we know how sensitive I am about him being in the audience, he stands outside of the door and he coaches me and says, okay, Les, this is what you need to do this differently, or you need to do this differently. So, but he just, his presence, it just makes me so nervous. I mean, no one has ever caused me to be that nervous in my entire life. So this past Saturday was the first time I saw him in the audience, and as the last presentation I had to give, and it was a speech of my life. I couldn't go to stage right, Stephen. And I said, this man over here looked at me one day and saw me as I walked down the halls a WVKL radio station, and tennis shoes, and a pair of jeans, and a black T-shirt, and he looked at me, and he said, you can be more than the man about town, Les Brown. I said, what do you mean by that? You can talk to people about a variety of things. He said, if you can move people and they can't see you to go to the Jamaica Club and the Bottoms Up and the Pink Pussycat Lounge and all of these other entertaining events, just think about what if you use this microphone not just to entertain people, but to empower them, to educate them. And so, Stephen, this man, he between the records, he was there just for 7 months, and he spoke to me as he walked into the Associated Press room and took off the news and came in and read. And then he sat there and he spoke to me. Now, I used to follow him around Columbus, Ohio, because I saw him as a very talented and gifted speaker, and I hung on every word that he spoke. But he said he saw a speaker in me. One of the things when I'm working with people, I said sometimes you have to believe in somebody's belief in you until your belief kicks in. Mentors are so important because many times you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. Mentors are so important because the Les Brown that you hear right now, I knew and felt there was something in me other than what I was expressing, but I couldn't get to it. I didn't know how to access it. There's some things you can't do by yourself. You need somebody who has the insight, who has the caring to help to begin to connect with that other part of yourself. George Bernard Shaw was asked the question at the end of his life, if you had it in your power to come back again, to be born as anybody in the course of history, who would you select? And he said, I'd like to be the man I never was. And what Mike Williams did for me is help me to connect to the man that I had it within myself to be. And had it not been for that relationship and that mentoring coaching for the past 35 years, I think that perhaps I would be saying the same thing that George Bernard Shaw said, or the words of agony that Henry David Thoreau said, that, oh God, to reach the point of death only to realize that you have never lived, only to realize that you've never scraped the surface of your potential. So mentors are so important.
You really made it clear how important mentors are.
How
no, really.
You feel to be over here?
Yes, I am. Now here's something I'm thinking about though. You have to be when you have a mentor in your life, you have to be coachable because some people they prefer to be right than to get it right. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, without any question. Most people fail in life because they're not willing to listen to another voice.
Right.
Yeah, I had to speak in Dade County Jail to over 2,500 inmates, and I gave them several things that I suggested they could do to reinvent themselves. And I said, one of the things that I'm going to suggest that you do that's going to be the most difficult thing for you to do, I said, I want you to stop thinking. I said, your best thoughts has produced this life for you, three hearts in a cart, three hot meals and a cart with all of your little belongings and a little box at the end of this bunk bed. So you don't need to think anymore. I said to my youngest son recently, I said, listen to me. I said, don't ever interrupt me as I talk to you. I said, I'm 61. Let me ask you a question. You're 21. Do you believe that you know more 40 years from now than what you now know? And he said, of course. I said, then listen to me. I'm on your side. And what I found, and a friend of mine, Lorraine Watkins, said this, most people won't participate in their own rescue. Here's a young man who's now 21, and I've got to fly out to San Diego, California next week, and I hope that you pray for him. That he had an eye injury. He was a victim of a hate crime. He was earning $2,500 an hour since he was 14. I trained him, this is my baby boy, how to speak. While living with me, he could not listen to rap music, which creates an AIDS virus in the brain, addiction to incarceration and death syndrome. HIV, hood-infected virus. While with me, he had to listen to motivational tapes. While with me, he had to read 10 to 15 pages of something positive every day. And one summer, while the president of his class, one summer he went to be with his mother. And then he could listen to whatever he wanted to listen to. Then he didn't have to follow the fellow personal development regimen. Then he could dress any way that he wanted to dress. Then he could hang around anybody that he wanted to hang around. And one summer, I lost my son. Now he's 21, behind on his dreams, off track. He's still young, has a chance to get it together. But now he's fighting for his vision in one eye, in the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people, because he wouldn't listen. A friend of mine, son John Wesley, my son's name is John Leslie, Marilyn Logan, who's a very good mother, her son is writing a book that I came up, we were talking, and I said, wait a minute, hit that title you just said, It's what you said to your son. That's a good title. And she said, what? She asked the question of her son, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I think there's a reason that my favorite book says, be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing your mind. There's a reason that Einstein said, the thinking that has brought me this far has created some problems that this thinking can't solve. The reason that I'm where I am right now is because many times I had to choose between listening to Les Brown and listening to Mike Williams, and I had to get my ego and pride out of the way, and I listened to Mike because I knew he saw some things in me that I couldn't see, and I knew he had my best interest at heart, and I knew that I sometimes was working against myself. As Shakespeare said, the fort, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings. That's an African proverb that goes that if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. As Paul said, the things I should do, I don't do, and the things I shouldn't do, I do. I was working against myself, and fortunately, I had enough sense to listen to Mike. Oh, can you believe I do this for a living? I'm telling you, it proves you don't even have to be mentally healthy. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on some new medication. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yes.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm hearing the word discipline come up. I'm thinking about your son, and it seems like you really had him on a success routine.
Yeah.
And when he left your side, he didn't keep the discipline, and without the discipline that was required to continue on that path to where he wanted to go, he kind of lost his way. So what role does discipline play?
It plays a major role because, as you are aware, you don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. US News Magazine did an article on the unseen mind. The majority of our decisions are made out of the unseen mind. Some people call it the subconscious mind. Changing your behavior. Fast Magazine, they did a scientific study a few months ago, and they found if you had a choice between changing or dying, what will you choose? Well, what they discovered, that 90% of people would die. They found that die rather than change. And so in order to achieve your goals, you have to be disciplined to maintain a regimen. The mind is like a garden. If you have a garden and you go out there with one can of weed killer, trust me, you're going to have to buy some other cans because those weeds are going to continue to come back. If you have a goal and dream of something you want to achieve, you've got to discipline yourself to listen to motivational messages, to be a part of calls of this nature on a weekly basis, to read 10 to 15 pages of something positive every day. I've listened to 3 hours of motivational messages today. 3 hours today. Do you hear me? And I probably at this stage of this is the day is probably what's the 7th or the 8th?
7th.
Okay, the 7th today, and just already on this day, I know that I will do a minimum of $300,000 this month, okay? And I tell you, you don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. So most people never achieve their goals because they're not willing to discipline themselves. They'll come on 2 or 3 calls and they'll stop or read 2 or 3 books or listen to 2 or 3 motivational sets and say, oh, I know that. Oh, I got that. I heard that. People always ask me, well, how often shall I listen to it? I said, until you're manifesting the results, because there are things that I'm listening to right now, Stephen, that I heard 5 years ago that now I'm listening at a different place in my life. So now it has more value to me.
Right.
Am I making sense on that?
Oh, you're making perfect sense.
Yeah, so we have to really constantly reprogram our minds constantly. There's a reason my favorite book says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. I gave a lecture, Stephen, recently at Harvard University, and they asked me, were you nervous? And I said, yes. This is my 4th visit there. And they said, was that the most difficult thing you've ever had to do, would speak here at Harvard? And I said, no. So what's the most difficult thing you had to do? You know, overcoming prostate cancer? You know, and the last year, after being told 8 years ago you had 2 to 3 years to live, I said, no, that was frightening, but no. So, well, what's the most difficult fear that you had to overcome? I said, the greatest fear that I had to overcome, and it took me years to do, was to believe that I could do it. To believe that I had the ability to come here and to address you at Harvard University. To believe that I could speak at Dartmouth and Yale. To believe that as I just got back from Basel and to speak to a group of scientists and doctors. To believe last year in the month of May, speaking for 30 minutes a day, Monday through Thursday, that I had the capacity to train doctors how to work with their patients to increase their compliance in taking their hypertension medication and earn $640,000 in that month. To believe that I, who once worked for the Miami Sanitation Department as a garbage collector throwing garbage, to believe I, who worked as a janitor, who worked as a floor salesman at Sears on Biscayne Boulevard in Miami, to believe that there was this part of myself had the capacity to do something beyond that I had not even thought about. There's a reason that my favorite book says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what God has in store for you. I think that people who listen and come on to the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise calls and have the coaching and invest in themselves, that they will, and I know this at this stage of my life, I can tell you, you will experience some achievements, some special magical moments where you will say to yourself, I can't believe it's me. When I was in London, England with my daughter and walking backstage at St. Albert Hall and saw Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald and Sammy Davis Jr. and all the other greats of that era, and I said, wow, I can't believe. Here I am all the way from Miami. Here I am all the way from Booker T. Washington High School, about to speak to 10,000 people with my oldest daughter and my son with 7 interpreters. Who would have thought? Getting on this path of personal development and personal empowerment, it would have brought me to this place. I did not see this in my future.
Wow. Now, before I ask this next question, I mean, listen, what you need to do, if you're at your computer right now, you need to run over to healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. That's healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown and connect with Les on a much deeper level. We're not only going to be able to cover, but so much within this hour. Now, listen, I have a really important question for you because you're touching on something that's important. Many people are not able to see really where they want to go because they only see all the things that are in the way. You talked about having to overcome prostate cancer, and that's just one of the many obstacles that I know that you have to deal with. So I want to ask you a question, and actually I want to tie something else into it from what you said earlier, which is extremely important. And you said, somebody else's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. And for many people, the opinions of others has become an obstacle in their life because the negative words and the negative views that people have about them are something that they're embracing and is holding them back. It's become an obstacle in their life. So taking that into consideration and then all the obstacles that you had to deal with, how did you overcome them? Give us a specific strategy on how we can overcome them and also let us know how you actually did it.
Well, one of the first things that I suggest that you do is what I talked about earlier. See, Stephen, language is the software of the mind.
Right.
You show me someone that's going through a tough time, and all I want to do is have access to them because my goal and objective will be 2 steps. Number one, to increase their belief about the possibilities of where they are, and number two, to override the story that's in their head. What people do, what you accomplish, when you have defeats, when you have disappointments, when you have setbacks, and we all have them, you will fail your way to success. When you have someone say to you something that no one ever wants to hear, 3 words, you have cancer. Now, according to what's between your ears, that determines your self-explanatory style. You can say to yourself, according to the way most people think, because cancer is the most feared word in the English language, oh, my God, I'm out of here. This is it. Or you can say, as I said, this is just something I have to work through. It never dawned on me that I was going to die. I had some fleeting moments when people said, oh, my father died of prostate cancer, or my uncle died of prostate cancer. And for a week or so, just those hits over and over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, even if it's a lie. And I was petrified for a few days, but I had to recover because I constantly program my mind. If you don't program your mind will be programmed. And so I say to you, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter about where you are. If you take the time first to begin to reprogram your thinking, to expose yourself to positive messages, to read scripture, to positive, uplifting music. I love the theme from Rocky. I love the theme from Shaft. I've got so many tickets driving while playing those. Okay, you've got to have positive people around you to build you up. I've got a quote on one of my motivational messages, when life's knocked you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Oh, I had to listen to my tapes when I was going through stuff. I was going through a divorce from someone that I love very much. I was going through the grieving process of my mother being diagnosed with breast cancer, and there she was suffering, and I couldn't take her place. I couldn't stop the pain, and I was saying, Mama, I'll die for you. God, give it to me. Don't take my mama. I needed someone to pray for me. I needed someone to speak to me and say, Les, it's going to be all right. See, what you've got to do when those times come, and they come for everybody, Joseph Campbell calls it the long, dark journey of the soul. During those moments, that's how you grow mentally. That's how you build your character. This is how you build your faith. That's why we are told, in all things, give thanks. You must call forth those things that be not as though they were. Because whatever you are going through, it has not come to stay. It has come to pass. And so rather than just go through it, you want to grow through it. In the midst of it, you've got to ask yourself, what am I learning from this? In the midst of this, what am I learning from this? What is it I need to know? In the midst of sitting by my mother's bed, and I remember my mother worked in a daycare center, and she talked about when senior citizens, she knew when they were going to die because they would have the death rattle. And then I heard her breathing. And I looked at my twin brother, and I said, Wesley, that's that breathing that Mama talked about. I said, Mama, Mama. And she didn't respond, and that deep rattling sound in her chest. Oh, my God. And in the midst of this, I had to remember the scripture that said, I'll keep thee in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on thee. In the midst of this, my hero, Stephen, my hero, my friend, my anchor, my everything was leaving me physically. And I had to know, I had to get still and know that all was well. It was a tough time. It was a tough time. And I remember this movie with Denzel Washington. He said, there are moments in life when things appear to stand still. That is, before this and after this. And after this, nothing will ever be the same again. And after she took her last breath, and after I saw that tear fall from her eye, I knew my life would never be the same again. There was that moment when they, as Cicely Tyson called me that night and said, Leslie, I said, yes, Aunt Boo Boo, when they put your mother in the ground, when they placed her in that casket, when they closed it up, there was something in her that the casket and the grave couldn't contain. And that's what she left in you. Her spirit is still alive in you, and don't you ever forget that. And so we're going to have moments in life. You know, I heard this quote once, that life is like an onion. You have to peel it one layer at a time, and sometimes we cry.
You know what? You talk about how, you know, we're going to have those moments in our life, and I know that there's people listening in right now, and they have those moments. You know, they want to get up. They're knocked down. They want to get up. They're crying to get up. And you've been able to get up multiple times. You've been able to deal with things. Some of it has knocked people down, and they would have never recovered from it. And, you know, they're probably crying internally and externally, you know, wondering where do they find the inner strength to get back up after being knocked down again and again and again. So, yeah, they want to get up. But share with us how they can find the inner strength to get back up.
You know, part of I have this series called Choosing Your Future, and I think this is one of the things that has set me apart from other speakers. It's six presentations. One is called It's Possible. Understand and know that as you're going and growing through this experience that it's possible that you can get back up, that you can get your life back together again. Why? Because 8 out of 10 millionaires have been financially bankrupt. Walt Disney filed bankruptcy 7 times and had 2 nervous breakdowns, and he came back. You've got comeback power. If anybody at any point in time have had gone through some devastating experience, lost their job, lost their home, lost someone they love very much, as I did, and they came back, then what we know is it's possible that you can come back too. The next thing is, it's necessary. And the reason I talk about this in this series is because in order for you to accomplish anything in life or overcome anything in life, you've got to have the mindset that it's necessary. It's not okay. It's not okay that I not be my own boss, that I not control my own future, that I not sign my own paycheck. Oh, no, it's necessary. I got too much mouth. I've got to be my own boss. I don't want anybody telling me what time to be to work, what time to get off, how long I could be on vacation, how many days I could be sick out of the year. Oh, no, there are people on this phone. They've got to listen. They've got to be a part of this. Why? Because they're not mentally fit to work for somebody for the rest of their lives. It's necessary that they be here. And it's you, wherever you are in your life. George Bernard Shaw said the people that make it in this life look around for the circumstances that they want, and if they can't find them, they create them. Oh, no, you can't be a volunteer victim. You just can't roll over and die. You've got to take ownership of your life. You've got to take responsibility. And it's hard. Now, that's the part. That's the message that I brought. That when people hear that, oh, it's hard. They know it's hard. Oh, that resonates. I have people say, look here. I said, man, thank you so much. I spoke at the Harold Washington Cultural Center in New York, here in Chicago, and he embraced me. He said, thank you, man. He said, I was on the verge of killing myself, and a friend of mine gave me this message. It's hard, and life is hard, and you gave me the strength. You made that for me. That was talking to me. I would have left 4 children and a wife. Oh, my God, thank you. Don't ever stop doing the work that you do, because life is hard. But the next step is, in the next presentation, it's called It's Worth It. It's worth everything, Stephen. Every defeat you've ever had, every disappointment anybody listening has ever gone through or involved in right now, all of those things right now, when you're in the midst of it, you can't see it. You cannot see it, how it can have value for you, how you can grow from it. When you're going through it, you just can't see it. You focus more on the pain, and whatever you focus on the longest becomes the strongest. But if you're like Valerie Parker, one of my speakers, has written a book called Love Isn't Supposed to Hurt, and the subtitle is From Pain to Power. Oh, understand, you might be going through pain right now, but that's only the bridge to power that you have within you that's more powerful than your pain, that's more powerful than your circumstances, that's more powerful than whatever you're going through. Elsie Robinson said, things may happen around you and things may happen to you, but the only things that really count are the things that happen in you. I need a copy of this interview myself. I'll get tied up myself. They tell me the old man still got the juice. These young speakers I'm training, they give me a run for my money, but I tell them a young broom sweep clean, but old broom know where to go. I still got some juice up in here. Don't you get me started. Come on, my brother.
You know what? This is no question. Whenever I hear you speak, I'm sure I'm speaking for everybody that's listening. You're connected with something that goes much deeper than, you know, the mere words that you speak. I mean, you, the emotion that you display, the character that you display, I mean, truly, I mean, it's just like you are connected with something. I mean, and for me, when I hear you, it's like there's this mission that you're connected with. You're able to see it. I mean, I'm thinking about your story. I'm thinking about the things that you went through, and you found the strength. And I want to know, what role did knowing what your personal mission was play in you being able to find the inner strength and to, I mean, because if you can use Jesus Christ for an example, I mean, he was able to endure the crucifixion because his eyes were on the resurrection. So for you, I know there's a mission. I want you to kind of share with everybody what your mission is and what role that mission has played in you being where you are today, and, you know, because there's no question, I mean, I listen to a lot of people speak. I mean, you're unique amongst a crowd of many. There's no question. Your message is unique. Everything about you is unique. And I guess I want to know what your personal mission is, the importance of being able to connect with what our personal mission is, and how your mission's made you unique so that you've been able to influence so many different people, you know, in their careers, you know, on a personal level, on a professional level. And now you're taking speakers and you're helping to transform them and not really duplicating yourself, but helping to extend your value across, you know, boundaries that once before you weren't doing. So start off with what your personal mission is and how you connected with that and the role that it's played and why people should know what their mission is.
Well, you know, the mission of this program is congruent with what my life has been about, finding your passion. And Nietzsche said, if you know the why for living, you can endure almost anyhow. The having a sense of mission, and you can say, well, how do you develop that? First of all, you already have that. That's a part of your DNA. You fought to get here. You were born to win. You won the race. You survived. One out of 400 million sperms, you survived. You will never have those odds again. And so just knowing that when you beat those kind of odds to be here, to be born, to knowing that there's a calling on your life, knowing that you showed up to bring something here that was not here before you got here. But because we live in a world where we're told more about our limitations rather than our potential, we have to go through what we're going through right now, Stephen, like this coaching call, like listening to motivational messages. Why? MIT did a study. What they discovered was that if I say, Stephen, you can't do that, whatever that goal is, that someone else has to come along and say 17 times, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, to neutralize that one time I said with power, feeling, and conviction, you can't do it. See, everybody listening to me has had someone to say to them, you can't do that. People said to me, Les Brown, look, what are you talking about being a motivational speaker? How much are you going to make an hour? And this at this time, I was $1,000 an hour. 20 years ago, that was a lot of money. Come on, you can't do that. You don't have any college education. You're not successful. You never worked for any major corporation. You have no track record. You don't know how to do it. You don't have any experience. You can't do that. They were being practical. They were being realistic. They were being logical. And I bought it for 14 years. Because I was trying to figure it out. For 14 years, I did not do what I'm doing right now because I asked myself the wrong question. I asked myself, how was I going to do it? And rather than be about my business, rather than make the commitment to live the mission and the calling on my life, I was trying to figure it out. There's some things that transcends logic. There's some things that you can't wrap your mind around. That's why my favorite book says you must walk by faith and not by sight. That's why I tell folks, leap and grow your wings on the way down. Hey, come on now. You've got to have a sense of mission. Make it okay to fail. You're going to discover some things about yourself. There's some power in pursuit when you're pursuing something. You learn some stuff that you don't know right now. You gain some confidence. You gain some experiences. You develop some relationships. You make some impact. The power of pursuit. Just get busy. Don't figure out how. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You will be directed. You will be told what to do. Doors will open you did not see. You'll get help and assistance. You will attract everything that you need to bring it into manifestation. It's not a logical, practical process. I have a process called four stages to personal greatness. One stage is self-awareness, looking at where you are and assessing what is it that has got to be here. Next stage is self-approval and being there for a while, approving yourself for this and preparing yourself. The next is self-commitment, because out of that self-approval comes a commitment to begin to systematize your time and your energy and engage in activities that will move you in the direction of your greatness and your goals and your dreams. And then there is self-fulfillment. You will have some victories, things that you can celebrate. Then you've got to go right back to self-awareness. How did I get here? What worked? What did not work? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What is it I need to discard? What is it I need to keep and to build on? So it's a cyclic process, because this thing called life, there are all kind of twists and turns and things that you just can't begin to anticipate. I like what Mother Teresa said. She said, just when I thought I had a handle on life, the handle broke.
I'm having a good time. I hope y'all are.
So let me ask you this. So somebody's listening right now, and they understand personal mission. They understand having a purpose in life, and maybe they just feel completely disconnected and out of touch. How does one discover what their mission and their purpose is in life?
The key to that, you know, the key to it is very, very simple, I think, in my opinion, and that is never stop looking for what resonates with you. I used to be a disc jockey in Columbus, Ohio. I was a community activist. I was a state legislator. I was elected to 3 terms in the Ohio legislature. I passed more legislation my first term than anybody in the history of the Ohio legislature. I was the chairman of the Human Resource Committee. I'm an author. I became a speaker. I train now. I'm training speakers. These are several lives I've had. I used to work for Sears. I used to have a radio show in Washington, D.C. I used to have a nationally syndicated talk show, which was the highest rated, fastest canceled talk show in the history of television. It paid me $5 million, $2 million not to speak. I produced 6 specials for PBS. People told me I couldn't do that. They don't bring motivational speakers on PBS. If they would have motivational speakers, they'd have Dr. Norman Vincent Peale or Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins. You don't have a book. You're not known, and you don't even have a college education. It's called educational television. They bring on people like John Bradshaw and Leo Biscaglia and Wayne Dyer. They're psychologists. You're not a psychologist. Well, I produced 6 motivational presentations for PBS because I did not have enough sense to know that I couldn't do it. Sometimes, and I want them to write this out, you've got to have faith and ignorance. Faith, you've got to believe in yourself and a power greater than yourself, and you've got to be ignorant. You've got to be intelligently ignorant that you don't know what you can do. You're not willing to rule anything out, and you're willing to go for it.
Very important. You just said something they should be able to take that and run with it. You should be ignorant as to what you cannot do.
Right.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, just imagine. I just got back from Switzerland speaking to scientists and doctors, all of them educated. I was the only one there. I have a high school education from Booker T. Washington High School. Okay, I was in special education from 4th grade all the way through to 12th grade. I didn't have enough sense to know that I couldn't do. When I spoke at Harvard and spoke to some MBAs and PhDs, I said, you're the most challenging audience I have to speak to because you know too much. I have a friend that I trained to speak named Mike Jones out of Philadelphia. He's been blind since he was 10. Mike Jones earns over $60,000 a month, all right? He doesn't have any college education. He was adopted, not been blind since he was 10. He does a seminar called How to Earn Over $200,000 a Year with Your Eyes Closed. And one of the things he said, the reason that you can't do what I'm doing right now is because you see too much. So when I speak to these PhDs and MDs who are working on jobs where they're overworked and underpaid and their ideas get shot down and they're stressed out and their blood pressure is off the hook, the reason that they're not doing what I'm doing and they would love to do it is because they are practical and realistic and cerebral and they've already figured out why they can't do it. Well, I don't have that much going for me. I don't have that kind of brain power. So when I decided to come in this direction, here he is, a dropout from Ohio State University from Coshocton, Ohio, and here I am from Miami, Florida, and we two young guys who had this sense of ambition and drive, and he had this larger vision for me, and I was crazy enough to say, okay, let's go for it. We didn't have enough sense to know we couldn't do this. And that's the adventure of our life. Helen Keller said, life is either a daring adventure or it's boring. And so decide to make your life a daring adventure.
What if fear is holding them back?
Find some goals that are more important than your fears. See, the fear of being a burden on someone, the fear of being at 61, I am 61, I am cancer-free, I'm debt-free and drama-free. The fear of not being able to, when my mother became ill, to do anything for her other than pray. When my mother became ill and I took her to the hospital, they asked, when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, what kind of insurance do you have? My mother says, Les Brown, unlimited, because I could write the check. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The fear that I would not be able to be there for my mother who cleaned me when the woman who had me didn't do it. The fear of not being able to control my future, to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I was home all day. I told you after I talked to you this morning, I was taking a nap, all right? And then I woke up, I got ready for you, and then I'm here on this call. There are a lot of people, they don't have the power to do that. They don't exercise that kind of control over their lives because they didn't have the same kind of fear that I had. The fear of going to a job not knowing whether or not I would have a job that I hated and at the same time hoped that I didn't get fired. That's what you call mixed emotions, where you see somebody you hate drive off a cliff in your car. Well, you're glad they're gone, but not in your car. So I say life is just too short to live like that. So you got to find some goals and dreams that are more powerful than your fears. Just think about that, man. You got to think about having a Katrina fund. You got to think about having a what-if strategy. What if you got sick? What if you were diagnosed with prostate cancer like I was 8 years ago? Now my health insurance is $5,000 a month. As I'm sitting here in Chicago, downtown, looking out from my condominium on the city, this condominium that I just purchased cost me $5,000 a month. When I called the doctor and said, look here, I'm coming in, I'm taking this sleep test, and they said, well, Mr. Brown, you need a CPAP machine. And I called the insurance company, and they say, well, we don't cover that. Excuse me, I'm paying y'all $5,000 a month. Y'all should cover preparing my breakfast in the morning, going and getting my groceries. What you talk about? You don't cover this. Help me, somebody. Are you feeling a brother up in here, up in here? Now, the reason, because in the state of Michigan, they can't turn you down. They said $5,000 a month. I said, okay. They said, no, you didn't hear what we said. Your insurance will cost you $5,000 a month. I said, I heard you, and it's no problem, and here's 1 year in advance. So you want to – money gives you choices. It gives you options, and it reduces your stress level. People, when you don't have money, 95% of arguments in homes about trying to get $5 to go where $50 need to go. When you don't have money, you're like living together like two ships passing in the night. That you come home, they drain all your energy, and you don't have enough energy to enjoy each other. You just sit down, and the television is watching you, and the children better shut up. Didn't I tell you all to be quiet back there? It drives you crazy when you don't have the money. When I have money, I don't need my medication as often.
All right, you know what? A lot of people define success and measure success by how much money they have or they don't have. Right or wrong, I mean, people measure success differently, and somewhere in the equation, of course, money shows up. But
that's not how I measure success. I measure success of my ability to impact and serve others, and impact drives income. My favorite book says the greatest among you will be your servant. And so if you, your success and failure in life will be directly related to the quality and the quantity of the service that you provide. If you provide service for people, John H. Johnson, the late publisher of Ebony Magazine, said there's no defense against an excellence that meets a pressing public need. You've got to find something that gives your life a sense of meaning so that you can now create a shift of rather than worry about paying bills and working a job that you hate, that you can begin to live a life of contribution. At this stage of my life, I'm redirecting my energy. I'm now saying, what will my legacy be? I'm now preparing for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren's education.
That's what I'm doing at this state, how I'm going to train and develop the other generation of speakers. That's what I'm doing. What impact that I'm going to leave on the planet. I like what Jim Rohn said. When the end comes for you, let it find you conquering a new mountain, not sliding down. And, oh, when I got a new mountain to conquer, I'm going into prisons and reduce the recidivism rate. I'm going to do my radio broadcast I have in here in Chicago from the Cook County Jail. I'm going to the state prisons. I'm going to change these minds that are there, that are being warehoused. So I got some new goals for myself that are going to be here longer. Yes.
I understand how you're defining success. Is there a danger, maybe not, for a person that defines success and the only measurement is money?
Well, maybe that works for them. See, I've never seen a Brinks truck behind a hearse. You know, here's how, let me tell you something about this thing called money. Nothing comes before an unending thirst for God. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, you've got to have great health, okay? Three, you've got to have great wealth. Not to say just some money. I said great wealth because one illness can wipe out everything. If I did not have money, I would perhaps be food for worms right now because I could afford the best medical treatment that was available in the United States and outside of the United States. There are people that I saw going to Johns Hopkins Hospital and MD Anderson, and they couldn't afford it. They didn't have the kind of coverage, or their insurance stopped paying, and then they couldn't have the services anymore. I, on the other hand, have an MBA, a mega bank account. I could write the check. So money, the reason that wealthy people live longer than poor people is because they can afford health care, is because they can afford it. The next thing is strategic relationships. That you know, Dennis Kimbrough said that if you're the smartest one in your group, you need to get a new group. So the other thing is special moments. This is a special moment in my life. I carved out time in my life to talk with you. I respect you. I respect the work that you do. I respect the mission of healthy, wealthy, wise, and what it is that you want to accomplish with this kind of platform that you're talking to and speaking into people's minds and hearts about their dreams and their potential for greatness, because greatness is a choice. It's not your destiny. You've got to choose. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve, the mediocrity in you, or pursuing your greatness. And so to have the opportunity to be of service, to share with people what I've learned over the past 61 years as Mr. Washington, who stopped in the parking lot and talked with me in his car. Get in, young man. Let me talk to you. A Sam Axelrod, when I was going door-to-door selling television sets in Miami, and he said, Leslie, yes, sir, this is a usable world, young man. If you don't use it in the right way, it's a cruel world. Leslie, yes, sir, always strive to get on top in life because it's the bottom that's overcrowded. All of these people created moments for me, special moments that's still a part of me right now. Maybe there are people listening tonight that this moment that you and I are having, here I am an older guy, you know, I have more yesterday than I have tomorrow, and I have the chance to share with you. You are my future. And so to have this dialogue with you that people can listen in on and maybe get some value from it, maybe begin to walk away and look at their lives differently. It was one great speaker that said that once a man's mind or a woman's mind has been expanded with an idea or a concept, it can never be satisfied to going back to where it was. That maybe this conversation, this experience, maybe by plugging in to what it is you do each week, it stretches their minds and they begin to see their lives with new eyes and a new vitality and a new passion and energy to do things they didn't even know they had it in themselves to do.
Well, I don't want anybody to just only find value in this call, because there's a ton more value, as you can tell from listening to Les. There's a ton more value that Les has to offer. And I'll quote Les, you know, it's not over until you win. So regardless of where you are in your life right now, it's not over until you win. So I want you to run over to healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. Personally, I feel as if no library is complete unless you have a stock of Les Brown included in the library. So run over to healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. And know sincerely that it's not over until you win. And if there's anybody that can help you, and I'm not talking about just motivate you, if there's anybody that can really help you to win, you know, is Les Brown. He's won again and again and again. It's not just one win and then the victory lap and the dance and the forever celebration, but it's one win after another, overcoming one obstacle after another. Listen, you have your own cross to bear. You're going through your own things. It may seem easier said than done. Listen, Les has been there. I've been there. And it's true. It's not over till you win. So just do yourself a favor. Do your legacy a favor. And make that decision right now to go over to healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown and discover more about Les Brown. Certainly, you have to have gotten value out of this call. I know you've gotten value out of this call. But don't let it just end, you know, on this call. Extend that value and connect further with Les on a deeper level. And again, one more time, healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. Les Brown. So, Les, question for you. I want you to give everybody some practical action steps that they can take in the coming weeks to put into action the insights that you've shared on tonight's call.
Well, one of the things I'd like for them to do and the product that they can get access is choosing your future, and it's not over till you win. And one of the first steps in choosing your future is it's a six-step process. So, number one, I don't know what your goal is. I can't say you can do it or you cannot do it. Here's what I do know, that you have greatness within you. How can you say that? You don't know me. Well, based upon my own experience, that's how I can say that. I can say that from a place of knowing that all of us, I believe, have the potential to do more and to have more and to experience more, that we were born with greatness. So it's possible that if anybody at any point in time lived their dream, had a goal in something they want to accomplish, that you can do it. And you've got to create an environment for yourself that helps you to win by listening to motivational messages, reading positive tapes, and reading positive books, and being a part of a coaching program, someone who can see it for you, who can help you out. The next step is that it's necessary. You've got to have a deep down resolve. Whatever the goal and dream this week that you start, let's say, for instance, that you're going to lose this week 1 pound. Okay, then it's necessary that you have this made of mind. Someone said there's nothing as powerful as a made of mind, that I'm going to do this and I'm going to make it happen no matter what. So it's necessary that you discipline yourself. Socrates said the undisciplined life is an insane life. So what do you have to do once you make the commitment? What body movements, activities, exercises? Do you need a trainer if you're not disciplined enough to do it yourself? What foods you need to begin to avoid? What is it you need to cut down on that will help you to achieve your goal? It's necessary that you get a game plan. Robert Shuler said, people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. That sounds simple, but it's true. The other step is that it's you. Just take personal ownership for your life right now and just decide, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do this. See, even if your life is not where you want it to be right now, there's a quote that says, wherever you find yourself, at some point in time, you made an appointment to be there. So stop playing a victim. Stop whining and complaining. Nobody ever takes time to listen to your whining. 80% don't care and 20% glad it's you. So get over it. Everybody's gone through some stuff. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a racket. Life is too short and unpredictable to sit around feeling sorry for yourself, defining yourself by your circumstances as opposed to your possibilities. The other thing is, it's hard. You're going to have some failures. You're going to have some defeats. If you get off course this week, it's not over. It's not over until you win. Come back again and again and again and write these two things down. Number one is, I will win if I don't quit. That's number one. I will win if I don't quit. So say that to yourself every day and read that. The second thing is, write this down and put it someplace where you can see it. I refuse to die an unlived life. I refuse to die an unlived life.
Wow. Say that again.
I refuse to die an unlived life. I went to the funeral of a friend, and when they let him down in the grave, what they did not know, there were three books that he and I talked about that he was going to write. He never got around to it. And those books were with him in his grave. When I buried my best friend, Boo, coming out of the cemetery, a lady approached me and said, Mr. Brown, you used to talk about your friend Alexander Boo Williams. He was a great cook, and he had these secret Bahamian and Jamaican recipes. Yes, and that he's going to write this book with you. Yes. Did he write the book? I said, no. She said, ooh, he took that with him. He took that with him. So Boo took that recipe book and all of his secret recipes with him to his grave. Somebody asked a question. As you look at your life and look into the future, if you died right now, what dreams, what talents, what abilities, what gifts will die with you? Miles Monroe said, the wealthiest place on the planet, it's not in the Far East where there's oil in the ground, it's not in South Africa where there are diamond mines. He said, the wealthiest place on the planet is the cemetery. There you find leadership the world never had a chance to be exposed to. There you find poets and singers and artists and entrepreneurs and leaders who never found their voice, who never took a stand. There you find genius. It's been said by the poet, many a flower has bloomed unceasingly and wastes its sweetness upon the cold desert air. Many a talented and gifted persons have gone unnoticed, and the world never had a chance to be exposed to their greatness. I love this. Can you tell I love what I do? That's the passion in me, my brother.
You just
got to love it. You understand what I'm talking about?
I understand. I'm feeling you, Les.
Are you feeling me up here?
Yes. You know, and speaking of what you love to do at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we strongly believe in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. And so we want to know what your current most important project is and what intention you would like for us here at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, along with our readers and listeners, to hold for you.
I have a seminar that I do called Presentation Power.
Okay.
And I'm also having a speaker summit in April in Orlando. And my goal is to train the next generation of great orators and speakers and world-class communicators. Because I believe in the beginning was the word, you know, thou shalt decree a thing that shall be established unto you. We live within the context of conversations, and my goal is to create great orators, great communicators, to begin to speak into existence a brighter tomorrow. Because if we have great communicators today focusing on the solutions and possibilities rather than on the problems, I believe the world exists as it does because the bad people are outworking the good people. And I want to help folk begin to find their voices and teach them how to impact audiences and speak into their hearts and minds and spirits and ignite their greatness.
Well, amen to that. And we here are in total agreement with you on that one, so we're going to intend that with you. So let me ask you this. What single idea would you like to leave everybody listening with tonight? What is the single biggest idea you want to leave everybody with tonight?
I want them to go to bed with this thought that I go to bed with. There is more in me than I'm now expressing, and I'm committed to finding it, to getting in touch with it. Someone said that life is God's gift to us, and how we live our lives is our gift to God. And so I believe that there is something in me that's far beyond what I can imagine that I'm not expressing. And I'm constantly working to get to it. Just even talking with you right now, I'm not wearing any crown. Stephen, I'm still growing. I'm still developing. I'm like the lady who said, Lord, I ain't what I want to be. I ain't what I'm going to be. In fact, thank God, I sure ain't what I was. So I'm still striving. I still want to, at the end of the evening, to know that I gave this day my best, and that tomorrow morning, if God is willing, that I will get up once again working to be the man that I never have been up to this point.
Wow. So I know that everybody listening, you know, you got a ton of value, and you felt the power and the conviction that Les has for, you know, what he stands for and what he's all about. And if you're really interested in connecting with your personal mission, if you're really interested in discovering what that purpose is, and if you're really interested in letting your voice be heard and taking the stage in life where you're supposed to be so you can provide the value to people you're supposed to be providing it to and be heard and be set free and live the life that you want. And like Les says, have an MBA, a mega bank account in the process as a result of you connecting with your purpose and your mission, then, you know, I encourage you to immediately go over to healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. That's healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. And don't let the ending of this call be the ending. Let it be the beginning of something big. Let it be the beginning of the greatest moments of your life. Because, again, like Les says, you know what? It doesn't matter where you are right now. It's not over until you win. And it's okay if you feel like you're stuck. It's okay if you feel as if you're still growing. Listen, you just heard Les say right now, he's still growing. So we're all still growing. Sometimes we can grow much better, much faster, and be more efficient if we have the right mentor. So I encourage you to embrace Les as your personal mentor right now by going over to healthywealthyandwise.com/Les Brown. Les, as always, it's a pleasure hearing you. It's a pleasure talking to you. And for me, this has probably been one of the most joyful interviews I've ever had the privilege of doing. And I want to thank Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise for bringing you and I together for this. And I want to thank you for, you know, because I know that you're on a different timetable right now, having come back here into the States. But I want to thank you for being here and sharing from your heart, from the core of who you are, the information that you share for everybody. And I'm sure I speak for them when we give you a big, hearty appreciation and a standing ovation, if you will, and appreciation for who you are and what you contribute today on the call.
Well, I want to thank you and Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise for this opportunity. I'd like to have an opportunity to be interviewed when I've had full night of sleep and I'm fully rested, because I'm a little slow tonight, but I like to hear talk to y'all when I'm on fire, when I've had some rest.
Les, there was nothing slow about you tonight, man. Trust me.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. God bless you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, man. Take care.
All right, bye now.
So thank you, Stephen. You've been a fabulous interviewer. This is Janet Atwood, and you danced so beautifully with Les tonight. Just amazing job. So thank you. It was a pleasure having you with us. And Les, I hope you're still with us. You're amazing. No wonder audiences give you standing ovations wherever you go. It's a remarkable experience, and I know everyone would agree. Just listening to you, you said that you'd be something about you, you know, we'd love to hear you with a full night of sleep and fully rested, that you could even do better. I can't even imagine you doing better. My hand hurts from all the writing down of all the wonderful knowledge and quotes that I've got. I'm not kidding. I'm sitting here kind of like, you know how when your hand hurts, you just like start holding your wrist and swinging it back and forth. It'll come back to get the blood in it. Anyway, thank you for giving our listeners such an amazing discount on your program to bring out their millionaire potential. For all of our listeners, you can have Les Brown's wisdom in your home. As you know, Stephen, thank you. You gave that so well. www.healthywealthy.com/Les Brown. So thank you so much again, Les, for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Just so incredible. And I'll connect with you right after the call, if that's okay, on your cell phone.
That'll be fine. Thank you.
For all of our you're welcome. And thank you. I just wish I could open it up to everybody right this second, but I will in just a few minutes, because I know everybody's just jumping up and down. And I'm sure their hands are hurting too. So thank you.
Thank you.
All of our listeners, be sure to join us on our next call on Tuesday, February 21st, when we will interview number one best-selling author, Jennifer Hawthorne. She is one of my dear friends, and she's the co-author of The Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul and Mother's Soul books. Her books have sold more than 12 million copies worldwide. On March 7, we have a very special treat for all of you. We will celebrate the third anniversary of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise as the four co-founders, Liz and Rick Thompson, my great friend and business partner, Chris Atwood, and myself share the story of how Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise has grown from nothing with almost no capital investment into one of the most influential resources for personal development. And so we're really, really excited. We're actually all meeting in Puerto Vallarta this week to put together our talk and to create some strategic developments for the whole new year. So Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise will even go to an even better level. So thank you so much, and we look forward to you being with us then. On March 21st, we interviewed Bob Scheinfeld, who founded and made millions from Blue Ocean Software, and whose breakthrough programs have transformed the lives of thousands over the past 20 years. Chris just recently reviewed Bob's Busting Loose from the Money Game, and all I heard about is how great, and just such a paradigm shift, and one of the greatest courses that he's ever taken. So I know that when Chris says that, he's seen a lot, so I'm really, really looking forward to that interview. For those of you who want to check the schedule of upcoming interviews, you can go do that by going to www.healthywealthy.com/schedule. And also, we have a wonderful, wonderful program called the Dialogue for the Masters Call, and on February 16th at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll be interviewing a great saint from India, Ananda Giriji, so we hope that you'll join us for that call as well. We look forward to being with all of you for these incredible interviews. Now we'll open up the lines in just a second and say good night. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. It's just wonderful. Les, thank you. Stephen, thank you. And hope we're with each other again very, very soon. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.